This past Wednesday through Friday, I had the blessing of being able to be part of something called the Rooted in Jesus Conference, which was held down in Atlanta. It brought together Episcopalians from all across the country for workshops and speakers on a range of topics, including Christian education, evangelism, preaching, and much more. This will probably not come as a surprise to some of you here, but there was a lot that was standing out to me about the topic of language. Language came up more than once, but I'll only share one example. On Wednesday, there was a panel that included Bishop Rob Wright, who is the bishop there in the Diocese of Atlanta. And he mentioned language in a way that I found really striking. Bishop Wright pointed out that people often freeze when he asks them to talk about God. Even people who have been deeply involved in church for a very long time, even the clergy that he talks to. He lifted up the need for us to be able to talk about God in our own idioms and voices, that we all might be able to answer the question, who is God to you? He went on to say that this doesn't mean people aren't experiencing God. Many of us, most of us, hopefully, have what he called God stories. But we don't always necessarily know how to recognize and articulate them. As an example of what we might aspire to, he referred to the prophets and other exemplars of faith from our scriptures. These were people who knew how to vibrantly, authentically, and creatively describe God's presence in their lives and God's vision for the world. Finding language for God and language that helps us move closer to God can be a significant part of our lives of faith. Now, of course, there's the language that we use when we're here together from the prayer book and hymnals from the Creed, for example. But today, I hope we can think more broadly about the language that each of us uses or doesn't use when it comes to talking about our own lives, our own faith, and our own sense of who God is. I want to think about how we narrate all of that, both for ourselves and in conversation with others. Do we have spaces and relationships in our lives where we can talk about God using our own voices and words? And if we do, in fact, have those spaces and relationships, do we have something to say? Or, like Bishop Wright spoke about, would we freeze when asked to say something about God? Maybe it's helpful at this point to change our starting place. Before we can think too much about our own speech in regards to God, we might first need to grapple with God's speech to us, which brings me to today's gospel text. Anytime that we hear Jesus, Son of God, God in human flesh, speak, we get to know something about how it is that God talks to us, about what God's voice might sound like. Now, last week, we heard the Gospel of John's slightly different version of how Andrew and Simon, later called Peter, came to follow Christ. Two disciples, including Andrew, began to follow Jesus around, to which he responded with the question, "What are you looking for?" A question that Tom beautifully explored for us in his sermon last week. But this week's story from the Gospel of Matthew shows Jesus taking a slightly different approach. "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people," Jesus says to Andrew and Peter. This is not a sentence that Jesus uses all the time. He doesn't say it to tax collectors or carpenters or merchants or people in any other profession. He uses this language and imagery specifically because he is speaking to fishermen. Now, maybe that seems obvious, but I think it's important that he's presenting an invitation to follow him in the language of those who are being offered that invite. Jesus' calling is personalized, and it comes forth from the identities and experiences of those he is calling into relationship with him. Jesus ensures that his language makes sense to who they are and the lives that they lead. But of course, Jesus is also saying more than what they already know. Jesus uses what is familiar to ask them to imagine something different, something bigger. Jesus has them think about what they do day in and day out and apply it to who they could be as his followers. Follow me and I will make you fish for people. Now, all of us can imagine at least a little bit of what that means. On an obvious level, it means instead of seeking fish all the time, they're going to be seeking people, working to draw people out, to get them caught up in God's call. But I suspect that some of you might go fishing regularly, and I would think that your experiences there might add more flavor and dimension to your understanding of what this metaphor might mean. Peter and Andrew, who were immersed in fishing for their livelihood, must have had even fuller pictures of what fishing for people might look like. Whatever that fuller picture entailed, I would imagine that they were compelled, on some level, by the fact that Jesus talked to them in the language of the thing that they knew most about. I wonder what you all think of as your things. What takes up most of your days? What do you know most about? What is the language that someone could speak to you to show that they really understand who you are? As it says in our scriptures, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus met them and called them in the midst of their day-to-day average lives, just as Jesus calls us in the midst of our day-to-day ordinary activity. How might this sentence change if it were about Jesus seeing you in your daily life instead of about Peter and Andrew? Does he see you at the front of a classroom, at lacrosse practice, in your bedroom, in your kitchen, in a cubicle, at the grocery store? Maybe, just maybe, even here at Grace Church? Does he see you with a friend, with your partner, with your grandchild? Maybe alone with a book and a good cup of coffee. Whatever it is that makes up your life, whatever you feel like defines you, Jesus sees that. Jesus speaks to you in that language and in those defining moments and spaces of who you are. Jesus shows up in those places where you're wrapped up in the things that feel like they make you, you. The language that makes the most sense to you, be it the language of fishing or something very different, is known by Jesus. And not only does Jesus know it, but he is able to speak it. Jesus uses what makes up who we are and what makes up our lives in order to issue the same invitation that these fishermen heard. Follow me, And I will make you someone whose gifts, passions, struggles, personality, knowledge, whose life can be used for a new purpose of drawing others into relationship with God and God's healing wholeness. How is it, I wonder, that Jesus is using something you already are or something that you already do to invite you more deeply into following him? What is something that you already are or already do that God might twist or turn or show up in order that you might better understand and serve her? What is something that you already do or are that can be used to bring other people along on this journey with Jesus? There are so many and varied ways that God can slide into our lives. For the studious, God might show up in your studying as you take the time to read and think deeply and mull over the ways that others describe God and the world. For the talkers among us, God might especially show up in conversation, emerging from these connections that we make with both friends and strangers, and in openings in our chatter that allow for moments of grace. For lovers of order and stability, God might speak through the steady rhythms of our liturgy, through the familiarity of prayers and the way that those words sink into us over time. For the more spontaneous, God might show up in an unplanned adventure or a spur-of-the-moment decision or in your unstructured prayer. For lovers of nature, God might show up in the majesty that you see while hiking or the connection you feel to the earth while gardening. For lovers of art, music, or writing, God might move you with just the right line of poetry or a stirring hymn or a portrait that seems to look right into your soul. And on and on and on. Of course, God speaks in ways contrary to our personalities as well, and in ways we might never predict. But still, I think it is a hopeful idea that we should be listening and watching for God in the very normal ho-hum fabric of our lives and selves, that we can expect that God might speak in language that makes sense to our hearts. Sometimes I think that we are tempted to declare that we haven't heard from God because we're expecting God to show up in a way or a method or a voice that is meant for someone else, rather than for who we actually are. We're tempted to declare that we haven't heard from God because we want God to appear and speak to us in the same way that we've heard that God has appeared and spoken to others, rather than the way that God wants to interact with us specifically. It's unavoidable in our spiritual lives that there are times when we feel like God is absent. But on these occasions, I think we face something different than absence. Sometimes we just don't recognize the presence because we are waiting for something else, something different than God speaking to us through our own lives and selves. At least I know that I have personally sometimes looked at how someone else was talking about their faith and experience of God and thought, oh, I wish it was like that for me. Maybe I'm doing something wrong here. But I've come to see that God's been with me in those things that I once thought were keeping us apart, in the doubts and the questioning and the imaginings. I've come to see that God's been with me in poetry when I've been too disillusioned to come to God outright in prayer. That poetry, in fact, has become prayer when I've used it to wrestle with what a faithful life means. At one point, this was not what an ideal life of faith would have looked like to me. An ideal life of faith wasn't supposed to have wrestling. It was supposed to be electric and perky, unquestioning of God. And it was supposed to be joy, 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 just all the time. But we can't measure our faith or the way that God speaks to us by simply comparing our experience to someone else's. We can't seek an ideal Christian life that is separated from the unique realities of our own lives and souls. And we can't only expect God's voice to come from outside of us to be delivered as some startling shock to our systems. After all, our psalmist today says to God, "You speak in my heart and say, 'Seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek.'" You speak in my heart, not just to the heart, but in it. We must listen for God there inside our own selves and hearts, going deep into all of the things that make us who we are to see if God might be there too. But what is it exactly that we're listening for or looking for or trying to feel? To borrow from our Old Testament passage, we can find God in the relief of our burdens and in the relieving of others' burdens, in the desire to break oppression and the breaking of oppression. To borrow from the psalm, we can find God when we're in touch with God's beauty, or in the experience of our heads and spirits being lifted in the midst of struggle. From the epistle, we learn to experience God in the overcoming of divisions, in our unity as a body. And to go back to our gospel again, we might find God in repentance or healing. And to speak even more broadly, I think the voice of God in our lives and hearts sounds like resurrection, like life bubbling up in the face of death. These qualities of God and God's kingdom are things to look and listen for in our own context. As we do that listening, perhaps we will grow into people who are more confident in their own God stories, in expressing what it means to follow Jesus as ourselves today. Like the prophets and psalm writers before us, may we each be constantly developing a vocabulary that truly is ours, that is authentic, creative, and big enough to at least hint at God's great goodness. Amen.